I'd like to welcome you to this closed door session for a very special presentation. You're about to learn the real truth on how momentum is created in network marketing from a legend in the industry. This will serve as a roadmap to help you rescue the thousands of MLM grinders who don't understand why they're struggling or stuck in the business. So please welcome Agile's first ever triple diamond director and currently Agile's number one income earner, Mr. Randy Gage.
Let's talk about a rescue operation. I want to talk about rescuing the grinders who are out there trapped in network marketing. Now, to do that, we really got to get ourselves familiar with two different kind of concepts. Concept number one is what we just mentioned, the grinders. And those are the people that are just grinding it out in this business. And the analogy we've often used is the guy at the circus who's spinning the plates on top of the sticks, and he does one, and then he goes second, and third, and fourth, and then he's got to get back to the first and start spinning. There's so many, probably 95% of the people in network marketing are grinders. And by that definition, we mean if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. It's all about you. Everything that happens in the organization has to happen by you. If you're the one who makes all the presentations, you're doing all the three-way calls, everything comes to you. And if you, you know, and the thing is, we promote in this business, we talk about lifestyle and drinking out of a coconut and sitting in a hammock and going to Hawaii, but the sad, sad truth is that 95% of the people in the business do not have true residual income. And 98 or 99% of them don't have true passive income. There's a qualitative difference between those two things. What I want for our organization here is I want you to have that true residual income that we've been creating. I want you to have true passive income. So you really could go to Hawaii and spend a month or 2 months or 3 months drinking out of that coconut and know that your organization was continuing to grow, continuing to build, and your income would be going up while you're gone, not down. Now, that's the lifestyle of the second group, which we often refer to. You've heard us talk about the MLM rock stars. And we came up with that term because you really do have a rock star lifestyle. I'm telling you, I look at my lifestyle. Everywhere I go, I'm flying first class or I'm in private jets. I'm staying in four-star, five-star hotels. Like this property here, is this an amazing property we're in tonight? Have you seen this? What a beautiful, I look at the suite I'm in. I think I have five different balconies all around the thing and the whole remote control sound system. And just, I mean, it's an amazing place. This is my lifestyle. And living in these kind of places, getting picked up by people everywhere with an amazing income. And I have an income, you all know my income is higher than, and I got in this business for about $1,500, like everyone in this room got in the business for about $1,500. Yet think about it, me and many of the people in this room, we make better incomes than people who invested $500,000 in their business, $1 million in their business. There are people who literally have invested $10 million or $20 million in their companies, and they actually, money in their pocket, they make less money than we do. Okay? So the network marketing business is amazing if you understand the formula for creating wealth. Because if you understand the formula for creating wealth, by osmosis, you're also going to get the other two things, which is the residual income and eventually even the passive income. See, residual income means it's going to come every month, month after month after month. That's going to require some level of effort for that to happen. But there also comes a point where the residual income turns into passive income. And then it's there whether you work or not. And that's, you've often heard me talk about legacy positions with Agile, that we have the opportunity to offer people legacy positions. By that, I mean you have a spot in the organization, you have some leaders underneath you. Those leaders are trained, There's a specific step-by-step system that they're trained in. There's infrastructure to support that system, meaning marketing materials, training materials, websites, all those kind of things. And then the infrastructure of all that stuff. And then there's training on how to use the infrastructure. So if you would get incapacitated, if you were to die and you had willed the business to your children or your grandchildren, that residual passive income would continue on for them. Okay, but for that to happen, you've got to be in the 5% group, which is the MLM rock stars, because that doesn't happen to the 95% group, the MLM grinders. Okay, so now what I really want to, the magic of all this, what everybody's looking for in the business is momentum. And what do we mean by momentum? We mean that exponential growth curve. When you're no longer going across that graph in the box, all of a sudden that growth curve just ratchets up and up and up, and all of a sudden you're putting in 30,000 people in a company in a month, 40,000 people in a month, 60,000 people in a month. You transcend the industry and you now get out there into the mass consciousness. You become the water cooler conversation. People outside of the industry are at their offices and their day jobs, and they're talking at the water cooler. Wow, you know, I got invited to this presentation last night, and I was at such and such hotel, and there was 1,500 people there, and they were dressed to the nines, and they were positive, and they were having an amazing time, and there's a whole bunch of people making a whole bunch of money, and you should have seen the cars, the Bentleys and the Lamborghinis and the Rolls and the Vipers that were parked in front. And the jewelry and the watches these people were wearing and the clothes they were wearing. These people know about making money. And it's a buzz. Okay? Now, this momentum, if you were to read the industry trade publications, you'd get the feeling that companies go into momentum every couple of months. Because if you just page through those periodicals and you look at the ads, it's just one after the other. Catch the wave. Catch the next big one. The next network marketing juggernaut. You know, call your downline before they call you. And you just see that, you know, and you think, wow, this one's going in. This, let me tell you the truth, the shocking truth, is that companies go into momentum about every 10 to 15 years in this industry. It's not all these different companies. And for every company that goes into momentum, there's 500 other companies that don't go into momentum. So what I'd like to do is a couple of things here for you. One is I want to make sure that you understand how you become an MLM rock star, how you avoid being a grinder. And I want you to know that many of you have been in the business and in other companies, and maybe you struggled and you didn't make the kind of income you wanted to have. And you got to understand, it may not be, and it probably isn't, your fault. Because you're going to understand that the company you join has a dramatic and massive factor in whether you're going to become a grinder or an MLM rockstar. It has a massive determination in how much money you're going to make and if you're going to have any kind of residual at all. And not just the company you join, but the time at which you joined that company. So some of you got in companies and you worked very hard for 2 years or 3 years and you struggled and you beat yourself up because you went to conventions and there were people walking across the stage and they were winning new bonus cars and they were winning those trips to Hawaii and they were waving those big bonus checks and you kind of sat in the back row and beat yourself up and said, what am I doing wrong? I'm staying down the street at the Motel 6. There's six of us sleeping in the room on the floor. And you know, I've been in the business for 2 years and all I've done is lost money and pay money to go to this convention and this seminar and buy this tool and buy that tool. And what am I doing wrong? What's the secret that these people have? The secret may be that you joined the right company, but you joined it at the wrong time. So I want to educate you this for a couple of reasons. Like I say, I want you to understand how you do this. And the other thing is, I want to empower you. I want to educate you. So when you're out there in the marketplace and you run across these hundreds of thousands of grinders out there that you will know this information and you will be able to rescue them from those careers and those lives of mediocrity, and you can show them you really can offer them exponential growth. And we're going to give them that opportunity with Agile. We're going to give them the opportunity to do it at that magic moment when there's still a chance to create those legacy positions. Now, of course, every opportunity out there says that. They all believe that. A lot of people recruit on that. But I'm going to give you some conclusive evidence tonight, because what I'm going to give you is the benefit of my 20 years of perspective in the industry, the benefit of Eric Worre's 20 or so years of perspective in the industry, the other leaders that we have here in A-Team, and the dramatic and sustained experience and talent and skills that they've developed and what they've seen and their perspective. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to break down the opportunities into five different categories. Okay, and remember, of course, what we're looking for is we're looking for that exponential growth curve. Now, why we're looking for that, just so you know, is when that exponential growth curve happens, and pull up the Elmo thing if you didn't, when that happens, this is where wealth is created, when you're in the early stages of that growth curve. Now, of course, people, it's funny, even this month, 8 or 9 people I sponsor still say, well, Is there still time with Agile? Is the growth curve over? And I have to laugh because I have to say, honestly, we haven't even hit the growth curve yet. We're not 2% of where we're going to be in North America 2 years from now. We're not 2% where we're going to be 2 years from now in Australia. We're not 0.5% of where we're going to be in Europe and Russia and Ukraine and Asia and many of these other markets 2 years from now. But of course, the time you want to get in is at some point before that exponential growth curve, and then be a cause of that growth. Be one of the reasons that create the growth. You can't just join a momentum company and do nothing and get rich. It isn't going to happen. Okay? But if you join the right company at the right time and you become one of the reasons for growth, that's where legacy positions live. That's what you guys in this room have the opportunity for, and that's what you can be offering people in the marketplace today. So I want to educate you on that. Okay, so let's look at these five categories. Here's category number one. These are what I call the bottle rockets, because these companies, they don't even, you can't even say they hit an exponential growth curve. They hit a rocket launch. They come off of the launch pad and they go up to astronomical heights in a very rapid period of time. And that growth curve isn't even a curve. It's almost a straight line up. Now, these are the kind of opportunities that people get involved in. They're making $10,000 their first month. They're making $30,000 their second month, or $50,000 after a few months in the business. And it's a good thing. If you're in one of those deals, you need to make that much, because the next place that line goes is down here the next month when the police close it down. Okay? Because what those category one deals are the scams, the schemes, okay? The magic gas pill that you put in the gas tank that increases the fuel mileage, the be a travel agent and all the airlines are going to upgrade you to first class and all the hotels are going to put you in the presidential suite and you're going to make all of this money in travel agency commissions. The airplane game. And then, of course, the other ever-ready is the foreign currency game, which is just now coming around to Florida again, where I live. I got a call again for it this week of, hey, I know this guy, and he used to work for a bank, and he was in the department that traded the currencies, and he found out that the banks were making a lot of money, and he suggested that the bank should offer more of that percentage when they transfer the currencies to the customers, and so they fired him. And so he got mad and he started a company, and now I'm in it now, and you make 10% a month. Okay? Well, you know what? If you've never been in the business before, that sounds amazing. And you don't know any better. You say 10% a month. But see, if you've been around 20 years like we have, you've seen this come and go every 2 years. You see the airplane game comes and goes everywhere in the world, 2 years, okay? In Slovenia, they call it catch the cash. In New York, they call it the airplane. In different parts of the world, it's always the same thing. It's come over to the house tonight, bring X amount of money cash, and don't invite any newspaper reporters or policemen, okay? That's your first tip, okay? So those kind of things go around, you know, the magic gas pill thing. And of course they say, and we've got to start, I proved it, I put it in my car and I got, you know, 15.5% better fuel mileage. Well, of course you did. Because you know what? The pill really does work. I've seen this work for 20 years. Because what it is, if you don't know, it's actually mothballs. It's the same material they make mothballs out of that you keep in your closet so the moths don't eat your suits. If you put that in your gas tank, it actually increases your fuel mileage. And it works great for about 2 years. And then the pistons seize up in the engine and you have to throw the car away. Well, if you've been around for 20 years, you've seen the magic gas pill and the blue laundry ball and the red laundry ring. You've seen these things come by 5 or 6 or 8 times. But again, if you don't have the benefit of that perspective, you don't know better. So they look great, so you get involved. Well, of course, I obviously, and you guys know, I spent a year and a half when I decided to get back in the business. I spent over a year and a half looking for a company that I could work personally. And of course, obviously, I did not join a Category 1 situation for obvious reasons. And I hope nobody in this room and the people you know wouldn't do that either. But you just got to understand, and it's fine, make sure you understand, these Category 1 schemes, these are not network marketing companies. They do not besmirch the network marketing names because they're not network marketing opportunities. They are plain and simple pyramid schemes, Ponzi schemes. They were around. They existed thousands of years before network marketing came around. As a matter of fact, Ponzi scheme actually comes from a guy in Italy. His last name was Ponzi, and he ran a scheme like that where you take the money from the last people to join and you pay the first people. And that was, you know, literally hundreds and hundreds of years ago that he did that. So, I mean, this stuff and network marketing, legitimate network marketing, has now been around for about 60-some years. So these schemes long preceded network marketing, and they'll be around for thousands of years more because there's always human greed and people trying to get something for nothing. Okay, so let's throw those out. Let's look at the Category 2 situation. Okay, Category 2 is what I call the old guard. And these are the companies that actually became billion-dollar companies. Because that's what we're looking for. When we say we're looking for momentum, we want to hit that exponential growth curve, we're actually looking for a company that will hit that curve and crest and beat the billion-dollar mark and then continue to grow. So if you look in our industry, we have a few that have done that, and they actually hit the exponential growth, and now they're mature companies. Amway would be one. Nu Skin would be one. Herbalife would be one. These are all Category 2 companies. Now, when I got back involved in the business, I did not join a Category 2 company. And here's why. And I want to make this very clear. I don't want anyone in this organization to badmouth any one of those Category 2 companies. Because they are fine companies. They're honest. They're reputable companies. And they pioneered the industry. Okay? We stand on their shoulders. Yet, I still didn't join one. Why? Because when I got back in the business, I was looking to create wealth, not for an income. And see, what happens when a company really gets to a mature stage in the marketplace, I believe the opportunity to create wealth, true wealth, I mean, the big money, money with a capital M, that is no longer there. That train has already left the station. So see, if you told me, hey, Randy, I want to get involved in the business. I want to make a nice income. I like to make 5 or 10 grand a month. I'm looking for a stable, secure company. I want to make sure they're around 30 years from now. I'd say, you know what? Join one of those Category 2 companies. You got no issues. They've been around for 40 or 50 or 60 years already. It's a safe bet they'll be around 30 or 40 or 50 years from now. However, if you said, hey, Gage, I want to create wealth. I want to build one of those $50,000 a month bonus checks. I want $80,000 a month. I want $120,000 a month and a free car and the trips to Hawaii and the joy and fun and seasons in the sun and all that stuff. You know what I'm going to tell you? You can't do that. I really believe you can't do that in a Category 3 opportunity anymore. Because again, that train has left the station. So, and this may be one of the situations where, like I said, there may be many of you in this room who joined a situation like this, and you went to the conventions or you went to the things, and people were walking on the stage and they were waving those big bonus checks around and getting the free bonus cars, and you sat there in the back and beat yourself up and say, how come this isn't working for me? Why do those people make the money? They got the same product line I do, the same comp plan, the same brochures. How come they're making, you know, $60,000 a month and I'm making $600 a month? Well, the difference may be that they joined 10 years before you. And that 10 years could have a dramatic, dramatic difference in your income. Okay, let's look at category number 3. Okay, this is what I call the flatliners. These are the companies that are out there and they're just creeping along, doing their own thing. They may have a solid product line. They may have decent management. They're good people. They could be honest, hardworking companies. But for whatever reason, they never hit the exponential growth curve. They just, you know, they're there, but they never hit the curve. Now, why is that? Well, you know what? There's a million reasons why that doesn't happen. Maybe they weren't capitalized enough. Maybe the product is too expensive. Maybe the product doesn't capture the imagination in the marketplace. Maybe the compensation plan doesn't reward the correct behavior. There's just so many different things that can prevent a company from happening. Now, they of course recruit on the situation that, you know, hey, and we've been around for 13 years and we haven't even hit exponential growth yet. Or we've been around for 23 years and we haven't even hit momentum yet. I'm sorry, guys, that dog don't hunt. Okay? If you're going to hit exponential growth, you're going to do it in the first 5 years. If you're going to capture the imagination of the marketplace, you're going to do that in the first 5 years. Now, skeptics are going to say, well, what about Amway? Amway, you know, they were around how many years before, you know, 20, 30 years before they really hit exponential growth. That was a different situation in a different place and time. You got to realize Amway and Shaklee were really the first companies out there. They created the industry. So it was a whole different thing, and it was a very skeptical situation for the first 20 years. There was a lot of negative thing, you know, the FTC and government agencies going after the industry initially, not knowing the distinction between legitimate network marketing and pyramids and things. So in their case, and they are also going to see, as we're going to look at the peddlers in a minute, you had a bunch of people in Amway who were at that point just went around selling soap. And it really took until the 70s until they attracted some leadership. And this was leadership who saw the big picture, who started to understand about a system and duplication. And when they put that into place, then you saw that is a company that really hit momentum, did it right, and did it in a big way. And they've created a ton of legacy positions for a whole bunch of people. Okay, so, but my opinion is that can't happen today. You're not going to start a company in 1990 and it's going to hit exponential growth in 2010. Okay, if you don't do it in the first 5 years or so, it really isn't going to happen. Okay, so now of course I didn't join a flatline company when I got back involved in the industry. Why? Once again, because I was looking to create wealth. I wasn't looking to create an income. And you can't create wealth in a flatline company because you're not going to outgrow your company. Okay, even if you're the number one fastest growing distributor in the company, you know what's going to happen? Eventually, the speed of your group is going to become the speed of the company, and then you will still be going at the speed of the company. And the things that cause that to be a flatline scenario will continue to keep it to be a flatline scenario. And you can't break out and hit that exponential growth curve. You have to do that to get your income. And that doesn't happen in a flatline situation. Now, a lot of these flatliner companies, many of them are nutritional companies. And you know why they're flatline companies? Because they don't understand that formula, which we've talked about, which is get a large group of people to do a few simple actions over a consistent period of time. Because see, how many times have you been to a presentation for a nutritional company and it's a 2 or 3 hour medical seminar, right? And they wonder, why are we only signing up doctors and nurses? Because the average person doesn't see how they could do that business, and that's why it doesn't hit the formula, and that's why they flatline year, and they only have incremental sales increases, or they have decreases, or the only way they were able to raise their sales is to open up new markets. I think about back in, you all probably know the company that had Chinese herbs, right? I remember going to the presentation, you'd go in and they say, and 5,000 years ago, back in ancient China, the herbal doctors took the tree bark and put the root and put it together with this, and they mixed it together, and yin and yang and shming and shmang and wah, wah, wah. This goes on for an hour. You go out to dinner, you come back, and then they're like, and then 4,000 years ago, doesn't fit the formula. So let's look at category number 4. This is what I would call the peddlers. Okay? And I say that because these are the direct selling companies. These are the buy it for a nickel, sell it for a dime kind of deal. And just so you know, by the way, in terms of growth, they could be low growth, slow growth companies. They could be medium growth companies. They could be high growth companies. They actually could have very high sales. In fact, there is several of these companies that are billion-dollar companies. Yet even though they're billion-dollar companies, they never hit that exponential growth curve, and they don't create the legacy incomes that we're talking about. Why is that? Well, because we're dealing with the dynamic of sales. Those are selling deals. Now, one of the things we've got to understand, of course, is the formula for creating wealth in the business. And in this organization, you know, this is our mantra. We talk about it over and over and over again. You get a large group of people to do a few simple actions over a consistent period of time. That's how you create wealth in the business. That's how you become a millionaire in the business. Well, here is the fact of the matter. 90% of the people in the world are non-sales types. 10% of the people in the world are sales types. They love to sell. They go around in their car all day and they listen to Brian Tracy tapes and they get all fired up and they say, oh, I love to hear a no, because I know after I hear 9 more no's, I'm going to hear a yes. Okay? And they, you know, they're driving around listening to those tapes and they're all excited. That's 10% of the population. 90% of the population is like me. They don't know how to sell, they don't want to know how to sell, and they're deathly afraid of rejection, right? And if they get rejected, they're ready to slit their wrists, okay? That's 90% of the population. Now, if we take the formula and say we want to get a large group of people to do a few simple actions over a consistent period of time, which of those two groups should we be going after? The 90%, of course, right? But what do most people do? They go after the 10% because they don't understand the distinction in the business. And this is very important. This is a million-dollar tip, so make sure you get this. The distinction between the small business and the big business. See, the small business is the retail model. And these are the people with the buttons and the bumper stickers and the magnetic signs on their cars. And they're going around putting yard signs at all the intersections. And they're driving around town delivering fiber tablets to people every day and calling them up the next morning to see if they had their first bowel movement. And, you know, They like to play store. You go to their home and they have the spare office. Let me show you my office. And you go in and they've got restaurant supply shelves. And they've got, you know, and here's the protein powders. And they got 5 cans of the strawberry powder and 5 cans of the chocolate powder and 5 cans of the vanilla protein powder and 10 bottles of vitamins and 20 bottles of this. And they got people coming by all day picking things up. And then they got magnetic signs in their car and they're driving around delivering. That's the small business model. Now, of course, I wrote about this in one of my newsletters, and one of my friends wrote me and said, well, look at Herbalife. They win in exponential growth, and they do all that stuff you talk about. They got the button, lose weight now, ask me how, 30 pounds in 30 days, and the yard signs. But let me tell you a secret. The big level people in that company making the big checks, they're not doing that stuff, are they? Because who's doing that stuff? The grinders. But what, see, most people don't know the difference. Even people who've been in the business for 15 or 20 years don't know the stuff I'm telling you right here. Because they've never stopped, took a step or two back, and been a critical thinker, and thought about, okay, what has caused companies to hit exponential growth? The people who make the big checks, what do they do? The people who grind it out, what do they do? And they've never done that critical thinking process. Okay, so anytime you see this, the direct sellers, the peddlers, you're not going to see that exponential growth curve, and you're not going to be able to apply the formula, because 90% of the prospects that you approach will not fit into the formula. Okay, and this is, and you see this over, and I'll tell you where else you see this a lot is in the party plan companies. And let me give you an example. And of course, I'm not picking on anybody in general. We're just talking about these kind of companies, but let's suppose I'm in a particular company and we make plastic food containers, okay? And I want to sponsor her into the business, right? So what do? I'd say, oh, guess what? We're going to get involved in the business. And you know what? I know you want to get in this business, but I'm going to pick someone else because I'm going to get away from that speaker where I'm getting feedback. We're going to put you in the plastic food container company, okay? So what do? We say, hey, guess what? I've got this thing, and you're going to be able to get free plastic food containers. And they work in the refrigerator, and they work in the freezer. And when you got leftover lasagna, you put it in, and it's airtight. And if you cook the green beans, you put them in, and you put them in the refrigerator. And you're going to invite your friends over. We're going to have a party. You're going to make money, and you're going to get free containers. Wow! Right? Well, she's so excited. She can't wait. So she signs up. She gets going in the business. Right, Connie? What happens? We have her first party. She invites 15 people. They come over. Everybody's excited. Everybody's buying plastic food containers. And she makes $190 and she gets 12 free plastic food containers. I mean, life doesn't get any better than that, does it? What happens next? Then can we say, now, listen, we need to schedule your next party, okay? Now, she does her next party. Now, it's a little bit harder this time because she doesn't get 15 people to show up, does she? She gets 5 or 6. And you know what? She doesn't need any more free plastic food containers, okay? So she gets her 5 or 6 people there. She only makes $40 the second party. She doesn't need any more plastic food containers. And then what happens for party number 3? I'll tell you what happens. It never happens. Okay? If I'm lying, I'm dying. Okay? Talk to anybody who's in a direct selling company and ask them about 90% of the people they bring in, they never get to the third party, do they? Why? Because 90% of the people are non-sales types, and they're not comfortable with the selling situation. Now, of course, this is going to get the question. People are going to say, well, come on, Randy. Obviously, somebody has to sell the product, right? Somebody has to be selling something somewhere. Well, here's what you got to understand about the network marketing business model is 80 to 90% of the volume produced in the business is consumption of people who are in the group. Like me, I use 5, 6, 7 boxes of Agile products a month, myself. Everyone in this room uses those kind of numbers. Why? Because we're educated about the products. We know how they work. We know why they're good. We follow the directions. In other words, people who are in the business, they're good customers. The guy who owns a mobile station, he doesn't buy gas at the Shell station. Okay? Everybody buys from their own store. So you have all these people who buy from their own store and they use it, they use it and they follow the directions, they're good compliance, they get great results, and so it creates a lot of volume. And then of course, we go out, we approach people about the business, we're going to come across a great number of people who will decide they don't want to do the business, but they will want to use the products. And of course, we sign them up at a company like Agile. You don't need a white van. You don't, because see, that was one of the reasons I joined Agile. So I knew I wouldn't have to put a magnetic sign on the side of my Viper. Okay? I'm not putting one on there. I'm not putting one on the Bentley or the other Viper or the vet. You know what I mean? We don't have to do that. We have a preferred customer program because we're a state-of-the-art network marketing company. So we have those kind of programs who can service the clientele, the customers, and we don't have to play store and we don't have to be driving around delivering all the products, right? But let's go back to the big issue, of course. That's the play store thing. That's the small business model. And that's the perception that most people, that's the only perception they have of the industry. Because they go around and they see all these people with the buttons and the bumper stickers and the magnetic signs and the yard signs at the intersection and the flyers on the windshield, and they think it's a sales business. So even if they're a non-sales type, they get excited, they want to make some money, what do they try and do some sales things. But of course, they face some rejection, they face some frustration, they drop out, and you have astronomically high churn ratios. So you will see the party plan companies, the cosmetic companies, the legal services companies, the long distance services companies, all of these are really selling deals. And they're going to appeal very well to the 90%. They're not going to appeal, I'm sorry, to the 10%, but the 90% aren't going to want to touch them. So you don't get the true duplication because you can't apply the formula. Now, it doesn't mean that some of these won't have high sales, because some of them will. Like I say, if you look at Avon, this is a billion-dollar company. Mary Kay, if I'm not mistaken, is a billion-dollar company. So you can have insurance is another one. You know, insurance is a great direct selling thing. But if you've got to go and get licensed and pass a test and study, how duplicable is that? Are we going to get a large group of people over a consistent period of time to do that? Of course not. That's going to be geared to the 10%. So, obviously, I did not join a Category 4 situation when I got back in the business. I was looking for Category 5. And guys, this is the holy grail of network marketing. What we're looking for here is a startup company that has a viable probability to become the next billion-dollar company. That's where we're at with Agile. That's why I joined Agile Enterprises. Now, here's the thing you got to understand. All of these categories, they're all going to try to seduce you with the dark side of the force. Okay? When you go to the airplane game, when you go to any one of those schemes, they're going to tell you, and by the way, I checked this out, it's legal. By the way, my lawyer is in the business, or I've got this letter in the mail and he says he's a lawyer. Because does not every single chain letter in the world have a quote from two people who say they're lawyers at the top to say they're legal? Of course, but they're not legal, they're illegal scams, okay? And it's not that they're lying to you, they believe it. You know, psychologists call this confirmation bias. We see things that we want to see. There's a lot of people struggling in mediocrity out there, a lot of people looking to make money. They get offered some opportunity to go out and become wealthy. They jump at that opportunity and they lose their sense of reasoning, okay? So those people in those companies, they really believe that they're going. And like I say, if you don't have the perspective that the leaders here have, you don't know any better. You're going to put that magic pill in your car and you're going to say, yeah, get better gas mileage. Or you're going to sign up for that deal and you're going to make 10% a month on your money because they tell you that they're converting it into foreign currencies. Well, you don't know that they're taking the money from the people that you refer to it to pay you off. And you don't know it until the thing collapses. And then you've brought in your people. And that's when, you know, and I have a dear, dear friend of mine who was in my organization some years back, and he actually got in the airplane game. And he told me, Randy, I know it's a scam, but you know what? I need the money. Everybody knows what it is. We're all big kids. You know, we're doing it. I saw him about a month later. He came to see me. He had just piloted it out in the airplane game, which at that point, I think he got about $40,000 in cash. And I knew because he owed me some money. He came over. He had this wad of bills big enough to choke a horse, and he started peeling off hundreds. I just piloted out in the airplane game. Man, you should have joined. I told you. Well, you know what? I ran into him about 5 months later, and he told me it was the worst mistake that ever happened in his life. Because, of course, he brought in dear friends, he brought in family, and you know what? They took their kids' college fund, they took their 401 money, they took whatever savings they had, or they borrowed the money, they put it on credit card, they joined one of those things, and then, of course, it failed, like those schemes always fail. And that's when people get hurt. Okay, but the people involved, most of them are not crooked people. The people who start them, absolutely, those are crooked people. Those are very evil people. But you know what? They just find a lot of gullible people who are greedy and they're trying to get something for nothing. And then you get sucked along in it. So I'm educating you. I don't want anyone here ever looking at anything like that. Okay, now the category two people. What do you think is going to happen if we go to one of their meetings? Somewhere this week we find a meeting here in Orlando for one of those big category two companies. What are they going to tell us at the meeting? They're going to say, yes, we hit the exponential growth curve back in 1970 or 1980 or 1990, and we're just about to hit the second exponential growth curve. Now, they're not lying to you. They believe that. They drank the Kool-Aid. They drank the Kool-Aid, okay? But what do we know? We know that for the last 60-some year history of the industry, it has never happened yet, okay? So what's the odds it's going to happen, okay? Same thing. You're going to go to those flatline companies, and they're going to say, "And we're 18 years old, and we haven't hit the exponential growth curve yet. We're 23 years old, and we haven't even hit our stride yet. When we hit that, we've got people making this income, that income." Again, it doesn't happen. We see it. Just if you've been around for 20 years, like we've been around, you see, that doesn't happen. They believe it because they bought into the hype, they have the confirmation bias, but the truth is they will always be grinders because they will always be waiting for that exponential growth curve that's never going to come. Okay? And then finally, we have the direct selling companies. Now, if we go to one of their meetings, what they're going to trade on is their reputation, their credibility, their years of in the industry. They have a solid reputation. And they're, you know what? They're also going to have people who have good incomes. So they'll have people that are doing the $10,000 a month and the $30,000 a month and maybe a $40,000 a month or whatever. But the thing you got to understand is they could be $10,000 or $20,000 or $40,000 a month grinders. Because you know, if you're in one of those legal services plan, you got to get in 40 people this month to replace the 40 that dropped out last month. If you're in one of those long distance companies, you got to get in 40 people on the services to get the 40 who dropped out last month. The 10%ers, they don't mind that. That's what they do. Like I say, they're driving around in their car listening to those tapes every day, and they're just looking for new prospects. And they talk to, they forget the 10-foot rule, they do the 30-foot rule. You know these people, they'll cost you on every street corner, right? You can't pump gas at the gas mart without them. "Hey, buddy, what are you doing?" They start the conversation. They're yakking your ear off on the plane. They're talking to you in line at the supermarket. I mean, they're like obnoxious timeshare salespeople, okay? You just can't escape them, okay? They are recruiting machines, okay? And you got to understand, there are high-paid grinders. You know, I have some dear friends in the industry. I have a friend who makes 50,000, who lives not far from here. He makes 50,000 a month in this business. And you know what? He's a $50,000 a month grinder. He gets 300 phone calls a day. If you go to dinner with him, he has 20 phone calls. I've got to take this. He can't get through a dinner without 20 phone calls. You at 3 in the morning, he's still emailing you because he's up till 3 a.m. responding because he gets 500 emails a day. And then at 7 a.m., he's up again calling time zones here and sending emails there. And you know what? He used to be a $5,000 a month or a $3,000 a month grinder in the car business. So for him, being a $50,000 a month grinder, that's a great deal for him because he makes a lot of money. But you know what? He doesn't know that there is a higher level. He doesn't know that there is an escape hatch, that he could be a $50,000 a month rock star, not a $50,000 a month grinder. But to do that, you've got to find a Category 5 situation. Now, of course, we go to any of those meetings, and you know, every one of them will tell you they are the next company going to hit exponential growth. They're the next one going to go into momentum, right? We believe that. They believe that. Every meeting we go to, people believe that. But let me tell you what I think the difference is here. The difference is when you hear that coming from this stage, from myself, from Eric Worre, from Randy Schrader, from the people that we have in this organization, you're talking about people who have seen it, done it, and lived it. We have the benefit of that perspective, and we have studied the history of what's happened. Because I think Tony Robbins or Jim Rohn or somebody tells us success leaves clues, right? We can look at the billion-dollar companies in network marketing, and we can say, what are the factors that they all have that cause them to become billion-dollar companies? And then we can do our little checklist with Agile or any other opportunity that we want to look at. We can put the checklist against the history lesson and see, do we really have a viable probability to become a Category 5 opportunity? So that's the next little equation, part of the equation that I want to share with you guys. So again, make sure you get this because I want you armed with this knowledge when you go out there in the big bad world and you meet all of these poor grinders who are trapped in their companies and they don't know why, you're going to be able to tell them why. Okay? So let's look at those things. The first thing we're going to look for is the product line, of course. Now, there's a number of things that are very important about product. The first thing we look at is what type of product. You know, when the two guys who started Amway started off in the business, their first company, their product was a generator. And you know what? They were going bust. Why? Generator is not a good product for network marketing. This microphone, this is a great product. It's not a great product for network marketing. This table, it's a great table. Not a good product for network marketing. What you look for in network marketing is products that are unique, exclusive, and highly consumable. See, unique because you want products that are not available on every street corner. You don't want products that are selling at the flea market that people can buy at Walmart, that they can buy at Kmart. So you look for unique and you look for exclusive. The other thing, of course, is highly consumable because, again, and that's why I say water filters don't work good in the industry. Air filters don't work good in the industry. Non-consumable products don't work good. Now, somebody's going to say, well, what about NSA? Look at that great run NSA had. They had all that. But again, it was a two-year run. You can have a two-year run with anything. I'm not looking for a two-year run. I'm looking for a business that I'm still going to be cashing my bonus checks 50 years from now. And I hope the people in this room are doing the same thing, right? So, you can have the Ray Cassano tape, get a two-year run, the dead doctors tape, the dead doctors come back to life tape, you know, whatever you do, you can have a two-year run with something, but we're not looking for just how to get exponential growth. We want to hit and sustain and grow through exponential growth. And to do that, you need a consumable product, okay? So that's an important thing. The other thing I'm going to say, and this ruffles a lot of feathers in the industry, but I'm going to say services don't work. They're not a good product for network marketing. And again, people are going to argue and they're going to say, oh yeah, no, they do work. What about this and what about that? But the truth is, and Eric Worre really says this best. He said there's two problems with the services. Problem number one is when people don't use the service every month, they cancel it, right? And problem number two is when people use the service every month, they cancel it, right? And we see that the service companies have this dramatically high churn ratio. And look no further than the long distance companies. Because what happens? Somebody gets signed up in one of those, they call up 30 or 40 of their friends, and they're probably a 10%er if they're in one of those companies. So they have no fear of rejection. They call up 30 or 40 of their friends, they get them all signed up in the long distance service. But then what happens? Their regular long distance carrier sends them a check in the mail. Hey, we miss you. We love you. Just because we love you, we're sending you a check for $75. Okay, and they, wow, AT&T loves me. They really love me. So they go to the bank and they cash the check. And they don't know when they sign the back of that check. Of course, what does it say? It says, please put me back on my long distance service that I used to be in. Okay, and those kind of... Here's the deal with service companies. They're always commodities. They're always based on price. So all somebody has to do to take your customer away from you is give it your service for one penny less than you do. See, think about when I got started in network marketing, I think long distance service was about 35 cents a minute. Okay, I would call my grandmother up and she would say, I know this is costing you, so, you know, I'm going to hang up now. And she was very worried that if I was going to spend 3 or 4 minutes on the phone talking to her. And then, of course, it went down to 29 cents a minute, 27 cents a minute, and 25. Then network marketing got involved, right? Then we were 23 cents a minute, 20 cents a minute, 19 cents a minute, 17 cents, 15 cents, 13 cents, 10 cents, 9 cents, 8 cents, 6 cents. But see... Where does that go? Because if you get your customers by offering long-distance service at 6 cents a minute, all someone has to do to take away your customer is give them long-distance service at 5 cents a minute. Because it's a commodity. It's not unique. It's not exclusive. And that's where you run into those problem with services thing. Now, somebody's going to say, yeah, but what about Excel? Excel became a billion-dollar company. That's a service company. That's a direct selling company. I say, yeah, but did it create residual income? Did it create passive income? And where is it today? Doesn't exist, does it? So you see, again, you can have a good run with it just about anything, but we're not looking for a 2-year run. We're looking for the big picture. We want to bring people into business that they're still around 30, 40, 50 years from now. The other thing we got to talk about in terms of product is product line extension. Okay? You cannot, listen to me very carefully, you cannot succeed and sustain momentum in a one-product company. Now, people say, oh, come on. Yeah. Now, here's why. Because, and I give you this experience as a guy who was a consultant who's created compensation plans for many, many years. And let me tell you what we do behind the scenes when we create a compensation plan. We try and simulate what behavior would look like if we had 50,000 people in, if we had 500,000 people in, if we had 1 million distributors. And you know what the equation I always use when I started out is, what's the average consumption a family of four could spend on a monthly basis? Because that's how I want to build the qualification levels or the breakaway levels. If it was a breakaway company, you say, what would a family of four spend a month on this product? And you know what? A one-product company does not produce enough volume to produce the big incomes to keep the leaders at the top of those companies. So what happens is it creates a leadership drain. Because somebody goes to work in one of those companies, they work very hard, they do all the right things, they build an organization of 30,000 people, okay? So they say, wow, I work hard, I got 30,000 people, they got a nice bonus check, they're excited about it every month. Then they go to some generic function and they meet people from other companies. And they meet someone else from another company who also has 30,000 people in their organization. And they realize that person is making 2.5 or 3.5 times as much a month as I do with the same amount of people. Why? Because you've got one product, they've got 4, 6, 8, 10, 15, 20 products. So you look for companies with product line extension. Now, look no further than the Jungle Juices for this example. Okay? Now, you know what I'm talking about with the Jungle Juice, right? Because obviously we had one company that did really well with this, and at last count, I have seen more than 200 knockoffs of the Jungle Juice deal, okay? And it's funny, they all have the same story, right? They all have the magic, mystical berry, okay? Which is only grown on one half of one mountain, and they own the mountain. And all of the indigenous people have been eating this berry for centuries. And everybody in the village lives to be 150. And nobody ever gets sick in the village. And of course, these mountains, they're never outside of Denver or, you know what I mean? They're in Fiji and Tahiti and Brazil and the rainforest. You know, but here's the thing. I've been to Fiji. I have been to Tahiti. Okay, and you know what? There ain't nobody there drinking those bottles of Jungle Juice. I mean, come on, guys. Those things cost $50 a bottle. That's what those people make in a year. There ain't nobody down there drinking those things. So you know what? It's a great story, but let's get real, okay? That ain't what happened in the real world, okay? But somebody's going to say, yeah, but look at Zango. Look at, and say, yes, look at Zango. They had a great 2-year run, didn't they? But where are they at now? If you ask me, I look at my opinion, I look at them and I say, wow, they look to be flat here, look to be flat there. I mean, I see they're opening new countries and they're getting incremental growth by opening new countries, but that's not exponential growth. That's stalled growth, and that's what the flatline companies do. And there's many, and I didn't want to name names, but when we talk about the flatliners, I could give you 80 different companies, and they just, you know, creep up, and the only way they creep up is they keep opening up new markets because they are flat, and in many, many, many cases, actually going down in sales in the markets that they've been around for a long time. So, you look at Agile and you say, when I looked at that gel pack, I said, that is the sexiest product sample I have ever seen in 20 years in network marketing. Would you agree? The other thing that I see is, and this is a big thing about the product, and it's very important, it's got to be a product that people get. In other words, why a lot of those companies are flatline companies, a lot of nutritional ones, is because they don't understand the formula. A large group of people do a few simple actions over a consistent period of time. So you go to their meetings, you go to their presentation, it's like a 3-hour nutrition seminar, okay? Or everybody in there, they have all of these CDs and lab reports and everything from doctors and medical researchers, and you've got to listen to 10, doctor tapes to understand the product. You talk about suspension gel technology, people just get it. Makes common sense. They do, hey, assimilation, a gel pack versus a tablet going to have thousands of pounds of pressure. Of course, your body's going to be able to get the nutrients out of that better, quicker, better, faster. I mean, it just makes sense. Okay. The other thing, of course, is the product line extension. So if you say, okay, we're going to do this checklist, the companies that hit exponential growth, how would we rate Agile? You look at the product, you say, they get the product. And of course, everyone, all your prospects have seen the reports, seen the TV shows about the thousands of pounds of undigested vitamin tablets they find in the filters of the sewage treatment plants at municipalities all over the world. The product just makes sense. Do we have a product line extension possibility for the nutritional products that we have? Could that be extended out a big way? Okay. Do we have product line extension possibility for the wellness products like the UMI that we could extend out a big way? Yeah. Do we have product line extension possibilities for gelsuticals like Flex and cold medicine and flu medicine and all of that kind of stuff? I mean, one of which you're going to see tonight in 30 minutes or so. So, you look at the product thing, you say, well, you got to put a check mark by Agile. They got the product thing down, okay? The other thing, the next thing is a very simple thing, yet almost no companies have it, which is the second factor you need for that exponential growth, you need money. You got to be properly capitalized. See, a lot of times people think, well, they went out of business because they grew too slow. You know, a lot of companies in this business, they go out of business because they grew too fast. Because they couldn't ramp up their production capacity. They couldn't ramp up the office. They couldn't think when you really get a strong field leadership and they go out there and they build some growth, you got to have the infrastructure that can support that. And that takes a lot of money. And you look at the situation with Agile. Here we were funded by a venture capital firm, which was started by a guy who created WordPerfect. Okay, he sold it to Novell for like $1.5 billion, took in some partners, started a venture capital firm. I think they started with about $300 million. They saw Agile. Now, by the way, they never fund nutrition companies. They saw the Agile technology. They said, hey, we love this technology, and they made an exception. They never fund startup deals. They looked at Agile. They saw the thing. They said, hey, we're going to make an exception. And some of you know, you were with me in Australia. I was with the two managing partners of that venture capital firm. They came to the launch in Australia. And you know what they told me? That Agile Enterprises was the best investment they have ever made. Now, And here's the thing. I mean, we're talking about investment bankers, right? You know, investment bankers, they wear blue suits and white shirts and red striped ties, and they're very, you know, whatever. They were on the stage. Remember Sherm? Glenn, you remember that? Sherm was on stage. He's hugging everybody, and he's got, they're winning their awards and pins, and he's got tears going down his eyes. This is an investment banker? You know, this is the effect that Agile has on people. But so here the thing is, we could have had a bad first year. It wouldn't have mattered. We had the money to make it. We could have had a bad second year, which we didn't. But it wouldn't have mattered. We had the money to make it. You have to be properly capitalized. And you, let me shock you with something here. Do you realize the actual money that we had to start Agile Enterprises backing the company? That was more money than Herbalife had when they started. That's more money than Amway had when they started. That's more money than Nu Skin had when they started. I mean, obviously you got to adjust for inflation and we're getting the benefit of that. But the thing is, we had millions of dollars behind us before we ever made the first gel pack. So if we're going to put, you know, look at the second thing, the money, you got to put a check mark there. Okay? So we got the second thing. Third thing we got to talk about, compensation plan. We need a compensation plan. And here's the critical thing that rewards people for taking the correct behavior. And you got to, you never can imagine how unusual that is in this industry. There are so many plans out there that reward people for dysfunctional behavior, that reward people to do the wrong things. And a big example would be A lot of the stair-step breakaway companies have very wide levels to break away. So you need 10 wide, 12 wide, 16 wide of director groups to break away. Well, what does that mean? It means you always have to be going out, getting more people replacing the churn. And of course, you never have time to work with the people in the organization. So what is the end result of compensation plans like that? It's throw the mud against the wall and see what sticks. And believe me, for many years, I was the mud that kept falling off the wall in those companies. So I know what that is. So I understand. You got to have a plan. Same thing. I've got a very dear friend. He's a number one distributor in the company. They're out of Canada. Another one of those flatline companies. Another, you know, one product juice company, of course. They flatline. They say, well, you know what? We're paying these top leaders all this money. We're not growing. We're flat. We got to redo the compensation plan. Just like another one of those jungle juice companies did. They lost a lot of their people recently. Because, again, they flatline, and then they got to do something. They have this... You have a finite amount of money you can pay out, so they try and move it around trying to get growth, but the growth isn't there because of the inherent problems that they haven't corrected. Okay? Well, anyway, this company in Canada is a perfect example. So they change the compensation plan. They say, okay, everyone here has to sponsor 8 people every month to get a bonus check. But they say, that's going to drive growth. And they think they're rewarding people for taking the correct behavior. But of course, they're doing the exact opposite. Because if I have to go out and sign up 8 new people every single month, 12 months a year, I don't have time to go to Indiana and work with Melanie Mills. I don't have time to go to Canada and work with Ivan Sisko and the team. I don't have time to go to Southern California and work with Bobby Mitchell. I got to be running around trying to talk to 60 prospects a month to try and find 8 who will sign up. That's dysfunctional behavior. And of course, what happens? Of course, you know, the first months it's okay. You get your 8 because your mother does it and your brother does it and your whatever does it, okay? And the second month it's a little bit harder and, you know, you've got your dog and your cat and your parakeet and your dead grandmother. And by the third month, you're running out of dead people. So what happens then? You're running around, chicken with your head cut off, always looking out. It doesn't reward the correct behavior. So you look at a plan like Agile, like me, to be a triple diamond director, I need 12 qualified director legs, which I have. But you know the distinction? I have 12 qualified director legs within 2 lines of an organization. I have a left side and a right side. We don't have the crazy binary stuff, though. We don't wash the volume every $5,000. You don't have to re-enter the binary 40, 50 times. See, a lot of companies, you talk to people, binary companies, they say, yeah, I made $20,000 a month. But they don't tell you they had to re-enter the binary 20 times to do that and pay $100, $150 every time they did that. So they didn't really make $12,000, they made $7,000. Okay? There's all this smoke and mirror stuff. You got to watch out. We don't have that nonsense. Agile created a compensation plan that rewards you for taking the correct behavior. So yes, I have 12 qualified director lines, but I do it by building down in depth, going down and working in the organization. And every new person I put down there helps all of the people above it. And for you guys who understand the business, you know, now we've got a great plan, obviously, the free car and the trips to Hawaii and the expense allowance and all that stuff. But the thing you got to know when you talk to all these grinders out there is you've got to show them the leverage matching bonus. Because let me tell you, I didn't really get it till I was on the airplane flying to Salt Lake City to check out the company. I took a pen and a paper. I started sketching out the leverage matching bonus, and I heard Elvis singing Blue Suede Shoes. Okay? I mean, guys, this is, for somebody who understands it, for some of these grinders, they're going to, give you an example, you know, Bob and Renee Gallo, I remember talking to them, they called me up and we were chatting about Agile, and they were in another company for, you know, a few years, and they asked me and they said, well, Randy, how long will it take us to match the income that we're getting now? And I said, well, I don't know, how much are you making right now? And he said, $200 a month. And I said, what time is it now? But you guys, you got to understand, we get spoiled because I'm making $1 million a year residual. Eric's making $1 million residual. We got people making 50 grand a month, 60 grand a month, 30 grand a month, 50 grand a month. We think this is normal in a two-year-old company. Do you understand? This normally takes 12 years, 15 years in a lot of these companies. And these grinders, there's so many people. They've been in companies for 8 years and they're making $500 a month. They're in companies for 10, 12 years. They're making $600, $800, $1,000. A month. They're grinding it out and they don't know what's out there. So we have to get to those people and rescue them, and our compensation plan allows us to do that. But finally, the fourth thing, and this is the other factor, and again, I just look at what are the $1 billion companies, the companies that actually made it hit the exponential growth curve, what did they do? They had the product qualifications we talked about. They had enough funding to get through the bumps in the road, because there's always bumps in the road. They had third thing we talked about, the compensation plan that worked in the right way. But let me tell you, they had the fourth thing, and this is the single most important one of all, the field leadership. Guys, let me tell you something. There's all kind of companies with great products that never hit exponential growth. There's all kind of companies with money, never hit exponential growth. All kind of companies with a lot of money, never hit exponential growth. A lot of companies with all kind of things, compensation plans, they never hit exponential growth. Because exponential growth has to be created in the field. Let's suppose, now this is a huge room, we could never fit in a plane, but let's say I had 7 or 8 747s, and I said, I'm going to fly you all to Hawaii, we're going to do a leadership conference, we got the planes, the jets are waiting on the runway, and I want to let you know, we got all the pilots lined up, we have a pilot and a co-pilot for each plane. Now, none of them have ever flown a plane before, but they've read a lot of books, okay? And they've studied this for a long time, they've done some internet tutorials, they're very excited to try this, you know? How many people would get on those planes? None of us would get on the plane. Because, you know, to create exponential growth, you need people who have done that before. For companies to go into exponential growth, two things have to happen. Number one is you have to attract people who have been and are successful in other companies. And you look at the field leadership we have. So, and you look at whether it's myself or Eric or Randy or Rob and Nikki Horkins, probably the most successful people ever to come out of Asia Pacific. Atta Mamadov, one of the most successful people ever to come out of the Russia area. Look at Carol in Germany. I mean, just all over the globe, the leaders that we have attracted. Okay, I will stack the Agile field leadership against any company in the industry, bar none. And guys, I'm talking about companies that are 10 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old. They do not have the bench, the roster of leadership that we have. And you'll see that this weekend. You'll see it the breakout sessions tomorrow. You'll see it all through the weekend. So that's one of the things that has to happen. And then the other thing that has to happen is you have to attract tens of thousands of people who've never been in network marketing before. People like Gail who've turned it down 15 times and say, no, there's something different here, I'm going to do it. People like Melanie who've turned it down 15 or 20 times say, no, there's something special about this guy. There's something different. And that's what we're doing with Agile. So see, when we look at the field leadership, once again, you got to put a check mark. Okay? So again, where do we sum all this up? We say, hey, everybody thinks they're the exponential growth company. Everybody thinks they're going to hit the wave. But the truth is we have history that shows us what really has to happen. And we look at those things and we see Agile has all the exact factors that make a Category 5 company. And here's the thing I want you to know. These categories are like hurricanes. Okay? Category 5 is the strongest, fiercest storms. And Category 5 companies are the strongest, fiercest companies. And you guys who have been around long enough know that when we launched Agile Enterprises in this town, not even 2 years ago, we did it in the eye of a hurricane. Did we not? This is a magic moment in time. We have a company destined for greatness. We have the amazing scientific breakthrough product line. We have the compensation plan that rewards the correct behavior. We have the systems. We have the training. We have the infrastructure. All we need at this point is more leaders. We got you guys in this room, but you know what? There are thousands of other potential leaders out there. They're trapped in the grind. We've got to go rescue them. So let's show them what a hurricane looks like. Thank you very much, everybody.